ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिता पुराण मुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगव गीते भव द्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्द यतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कांसचानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहमती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवै रणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवच सरोजममलाम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् ज्ञानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोके सज्जन षट्पदे रहरः पेपीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कजम् कलिमल प्रध्वंसि न श्रेयसे मूकम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदे गायन्ति यम् स्वामघा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनः यस्यान्तम् न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः Prabha, Shiva, can you tell me if you can hear me now? Because you had sent a message saying you were not able to hear me. Prabha? Bhanumati, are you able to hear me?
Ramaji, I can hear you now. I was muted.
Okay.
I can hear
you.
Thank you. I can't see you though.
Yeah, I'm just going to switch on.
Yeah, okay. I can hear you clearly.
Thank you. सदाशिवसमारंभां शंकराचार्यमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां ओम। सो टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू बी एंटरिंग द फोर्थ चैप्टर, अ वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट एंड सिग्निफिकेंट चैप्टर। आई विल एक्सप्लेन why we say that. So in the second and third chapters of the Gita that we had seen, Lord Krishna has presented the central teaching which has been taken from the Vedas itself. Lord Krishna highlighted two sadhanas, namely Karma Yoga meant for the refinement of the mind and Jnana Yoga meant for gaining self-knowledge or spiritual knowledge. Right? Now, as we saw in the last class, the summary, nobody has really a choice between the two yogas. Everybody has to go through both the yogas to attain liberation. In the rest of the Gita chapters also, Lord Krishna will be saying the same thing, right? Only thing is, he will be talking about these two yogas from different angles, right? In certain chapters, Karma Yoga will be highlighted more. In certain other chapters, Jnana Yoga will be highlighted. Now, the following three chapters, that is chapter 4, 5 and 6, will highlight the Jnana Yoga part of the sadhana. Karma Yoga will be mentioned in passing, but the focus will be on Jnana Yoga. Therefore, what it means is, the following three chapters are extremely profound and significant chapters. And from the seventh chapter onwards, Lord Krishna will introduce another aspect of Karma Yoga, which Krishna has not talked about yet, that is Upasana Yoga. So we should remember that Upasana Yoga also is a subdivision of Karma Yoga only. In Upasana Yoga, a person practices meditation because meditation also refines the mind. Thus, the mind has to be refined through two different exercises. One is through activities. When I say activities, I hope by now all of you will immediately recollect Panchamaha Yajna as the primary set of activities that Karma Yoga refers to, and of course your day-to-day duties with Ishwara Arpana Bhava and Ishwara Prasada Bhava. So through, when I say meditation refines the mind, Karma Yoga refines the mind, both of these together will cause Jnana Yogyata or mental refinement, which will help you go on the Jnana Yoga path or for spiritual studies, right? So activity part of Karma Yoga is also important. Equally important is meditation. So meditation is meant to balance an active mind. Otherwise, active mind can become over rajasic. We are going to see a lot about sattvic, rajasic and all later, right? But it is important. If the workaholic mind does not know how to relax, right, it will become a problem. Where is it a problem? In the spiritual journey, right? So, practice of meditation is called Upasana Yoga, in which we learn to meditate upon Saguna Ishwara. Very important. Upasana Yoga is where you learn to meditate about Saguna Ishwara, either our Ishta Devata, or it can be any form like Krishna, Rama, etc. A Lord with attributes. So the Upasana Yoga version of Karma Yoga will be discussed in the later chapters from 7th up to 12th chapter. So now here in the 4th, 5th and 6th chapters, Lord Krishna will talk about both Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, but Jnana Yoga is going to be focused and highlighted. right? We must remember that. Now, I thought I will spend a couple of minutes on significance of the titles of the chapter. This is something I felt that it would have been nice for me to have them clarified right up front, whereas I got them clarified much later in my journey. Maybe our gurus know much better than us. It is not required to introduce at this stage, but I am making that statement now. But I thought, let me introduce you. If you are not able to get the significance of the title, doesn't matter, because we were all not told in such great detail in the beginning. Only towards the end we were exposed to this when we came to Shankara Bhashyam and all. Okay, so the first chapter is Arjuna Vishada Yoga, which is straightforward, right? Which is Arjuna's Vishada. Vishada means the grief, the great grief that Arjuna was going through. Second one was Sankhya Yoga, which covered, it started with Jnana Yoga, then it went to Karma Yoga, and then we also discussed Sthita Prajna Lakshanani, etc. It was a summary of the entire teaching, right? That was Sankhya Yoga, right? Then if you take the third chapter, which we just completed, it focused totally on Karma Yoga. If you remember, there were just one or two stanzas towards the end where a little bit of Atma, Indriya and all came in, right? Otherwise, it was totally focusing on Karma Yoga. So, these three titles are easy to immediately relate, right? So, it is not so difficult. The fourth chapter is called Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Okay? Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Now you wonder, is it sannyasa of jnanam and karma? Right? Sounds like that. Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga, right? No. I have to spend a couple of minutes on the Sanskrit behind this because there are people who will be able to relate to it. First, if you take the word jnanam and keep it aside, this is nothing but karmanam sannyasaha. What this means is giving up of karmas. Now, is it really possible to give up all the karmas? Like you are eating, you are sleeping, you are walking. Can you give up all those karmas? It is not possible. It is neither logical nor practical. So, in this case, what is Krishna referring to, right? At body level, all the activities will continue, right? Snanam, eating, etc., right? But they will be renounced in a different way. How? By understanding that these belong to the anatma, right? How does that happen? That understanding, how does it come? Through jnanam, I understand I am the asanga atma, different from the anatma, which is nitya, right? And being asanga atma, I am not the one who is doing this, but it is the anatma that is performing the actions, right? And I don't have to wait for the end of prarabdha. If you remember the introduction to Vedanta classes, I don't have to wait for the end of prarabdha to feel liberated. I am nitya muktaha, ever free. Therefore, jnanena karmanam sannyasaha. What this means is inner renunciation through jnanam. Because I have gained this knowledge of atma anatma difference, I know that I am the higher nature Atma playing an incidental role through this Anatma, and therefore all the actions are really happening at the Anatma level. So, Jnanena Karmanam Sannyasaha in Sanskrit, there is a usage, it is called Samasa. So, when it becomes shortened, it becomes Jnana Karma Sannyasa. That's all. Right? So, it is nothing but inner renunciation through Jnanam. So, you are doing all the actions without claiming that I, my higher nature, is actually doing those actions. Very, very important significance of Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga as a title. Okay? So, he will do Panchamahayagnya, the person, right? A grihastha can be a jnani. He will do everything. And in and through everything in puja, his attitude is, in my presence, this body is doing the puja. This is not a sadhana for me. Moksha itself is not a goal. I am nitya muktaha, or I am ever free. So this is a very, very significant title, right? So I thought I should spend a couple of minutes explaining the title itself. So jnana karma sannyasa yoga means inner renunciation through jnanam. What we will do is we will revisit this title at the end of the chapter to see whether this is appropriate and how Krishna has gone about this. Okay. Now the content, right, of this chapter, what is it going to cover, right? In the beginning 8 verses of this chapter, Lord Krishna wants to mention an important point that Bhagavad Gita is not Lord Krishna's own philosophy. He wants to say, I don't want to do any plagiarism. I don't want to claim Gita teaching as my teaching, right? I would like to give credit to the source from where it is taken. Krishna is doing that, okay? So, the Vedas themselves are the source. He wants to say that. Krishna wants to say that. And Gita came very much later. Only about 5000 years ago, Gita has come, right? And in Kurukshetra, which we are even aware of now. And much before that, the Vedas have come. The Vedas have got the Karma Kanda portion dealing with Karma Yoga and the Jnana Kanda portion dealing with Jnana Yoga. Lord Krishna says, I have borrowed this teaching from the Veda only. Even Panchamaha Yajna, I have mentioned earlier, has come only from the Vedas. There is in fact a mantra in the Veda which enumerates and defines Panchamaha Yajna. So mantra begins with Panchava something. If I can locate it, I will locate it and give it to you. So this is a Vedic mantra which is mentioning Panchamaha Yajna. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Panchamaha Yajna is mentioned. In Taittiriya Upanishad, in Shikshavali, in a different format, this is mentioned. Right? So this is all part of Veda. So Lord Krishna wants to openly admit that Bhagavad Gita is borrowed from the Veda. Naturally, the question will come, if this teaching is already in the Veda, why is Lord Krishna actually talking about this, right? So, these details Lord Krishna will start speaking about in the beginning of the fourth chapter. Glory of the Gita, Gita Mahatmyam is the beginning, right? All of this he is going to start speaking about in the fourth chapter, which we are going to enter just now.
अथ चतुर्थोऽध्यायः अथ चतुर्थोऽध्यायः श्रीभगवानुवाच श्रीभगवानुवाच इमं विवस्वते योगम् इमं विवस्वते योगम् प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययम् प्रोक्तवानहमव्ययम् विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह विवस्वान्मनवे प्राह मनुरिष्वाकवे ब्रवीत् मनुरिष्वाकवे ब्रवीत्.
ओके. श्री भगवान वाच, द लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ इनिशिएट्स द टीचिंग हियर, पॉइंटिंग आउट दैट द गीता विजडम, राइट, आई हैव जनरली इंट्रोड्यूस्ड इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ क्रिएशन. व्हाई ही सेज आई इंट्रोड्यूस्ड इन द बिगिनिंग ऑफ क्रिएशन? Creation is also cyclical. You will have pralayam and again creation. So in the beginning of every creation, Krishna introduces, when you say Krishna, Bhagavan introduces the teaching in different forms, right? So we should all be grateful that we have Gita in this, time for us to rely upon, right? So because we believe that this teaching is not a product of human intellect, it comes from Sakshat Bhagavan himself, right? So, we talked about this in the third chapter. Whenever a company manufactures some product, along with the product, the manual will come, right? So, like that, Bhagavan created this creation and he said, okay, if I just allow these human beings to take care, they might spoil the creation. So, I will give Vedas also, which is the manual. I will tell them what they are supposed to do, what they are not supposed to do. Beyond that, if they ignore and spoil, it's exactly like how we spoil our gadgets, right? So, the scriptures point out actually that the whole universe itself is like, exactly like a fantastic gadget, and our own physical body is a fantastic instrument, and we are supposed to use it to our advantage. For what? To gain spiritual knowledge. I think I spoke about it in the very beginning, that we are supposed to use it for all the four Purusharthas and not just Artha and Kama, right? Very important. So we should know how to use the world and how to use the body, and the user's manual is Veda, right? So since Bhagavan is responsible for this creation, he has created the Vedas also, right? It tells us how to use our own body and world and attain all the goals of life. Chaturvidha Purushartha, right? So Lord Krishna said in the third chapter, right? Puruvacha Prajapatihi. Bhagavan addresses the humanity saying, oh human beings, may you study scriptures. They are given for our benefit. If you follow the lifestyle, right, which has been prescribed, the world will be a healthy world. Your own body-mind complex will be healthy. This teaching is given by Bhagavan through the rishis, right? And for that, what do you need? You need a tradition, right? So, we need, the teaching has been given through both, very important, sannyasa tradition, as well as has been given through Raja Parampara also. Because the Brahmins should know, they are the custodians of the spiritual and moral teachings. Kshatriyas also must know, because they should follow the dharma for the benefit of the world, right? Both of them should know. If the rulers don't know what is the dharma, there will be more and more scams, fraud and all that, right? And one Brahmana parampara and one Kshatriya parampara, both for sannyasi lineage and grihastha lineage, for both I only initiate this wisdom. Therefore, rishis will come under sannyasi parampara, and here he is going to speak specifically about the Kshatriya parampara. So Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha will both come under Grihastha parampara. Very interesting. So Bhagavan says, I gave the teaching for Grihasthas also, sannyasi also, both. He will cover sannyasa ashramam also in detail. So Kshatriyas will come under Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. Surya is presided by the Surya Devata, and Chandra Vamsha is by Chandra Devata. Now Mahabharata, for you all know, belongs to Chandra Vamshaha, and Ramayanam belongs to Surya Vamshaha. So for both of them I have given this wisdom. You also come under one of these paramparas only. Imam Yogam. This wonderful pair of yoga, which pair? Karma and Jnana Yoga. Here yoga refers to the pair, right? Aham Proktavan. I have initiated at the beginning of Srishti itself. Srishti Kala Eva. I have initiated this Vedic tradition by handing over this to Surya Bhagavan or Surya Devata. Surya Devata is also referred to as Vivasvan, right? So this yoga, which is Avyayam, means yoga which will give a lasting benefit, right? Which is nothing but moksha. That is the teaching that I have given, right? So he taught this philosophy to whom? To sun god, right? So one family comes from sun god, other one comes from moon god, right? So Krishna said sun was the principal man in the Kshatriya family of Surya Vamsha, and so he was taught first. This Surya Devata hands over this teaching to the first ruler of Surya Vamsha, the Vaivasvata Manuhu. Vaivasvata Manu is the Manu of the Surya, that is Surya Putraha. Vivasvan is Surya. Surya Devata hands over to Manve here. So Manu is referred to here. Vaivasvata Manu, who is the presiding deity of our current Manvantara. Okay? And he teaches Ishvaku. For those of you who are interested in knowing what is a Manvantara, etc., so I just put up a slide here. We'll spend couple of minutes, not too long, because that's not our subject matter here. So, just so that you get some idea. So, 71 Chatur Yugas make up one Manvantaram or one lifespan of Manu. Okay? So, Vaivasvata Manu lifespan is 71 Chatur Yugas. 14 Manvantaras make up one Kalpa. Okay? That is equal to one day of Brahma. Okay? And two Kalpas is equal to one day plus one Brahma Ratri. So, one creation and one Pralayam. When God sleeps, there will be complete, it will be like deep sleep state, right? So that's the night of Brahma, right? 360 days of Brahma equals one Brahma Varsha, and we are in the 28th Chaturyuga now, okay? So what we have to see here is, now in the Avani Avata Sankalpa, we say this, right? And we also say, Ashta Vimshati Tame Kali Yuge, right? That means we are in the 28th Chaturyuga, right? It's a mind-boggling time concept, right? So this Vaivaspata Manu received the teaching. What did Manu do? Manu Rik Ishvakave Bravit. He taught to his son, who is Ishvaku Maharaja. Who is Ishvaku Maharaja? In Rama's lineage, the senior most ancestor is Ishvaku, right? In Ishvaku Vamsha alone, Rama was born much later. To that Ishvaku Raja, Manu taught. Bhagavan to Surya Devata, to Manu, to Ishvaku Raja. All the kings of Surya Vamsha, they were all learned in scriptures. In India, also before this current time, if you see all the politicians, whether it was Gandhiji, Rajaji, Vinodha Bhave, anybody, right, Vinoba Bhave, any of them, they were all into politics or social work, but they were well informed in scriptures also. Gandhiji talks about Gita. Vinoba Bhave talks about Gita. He has written commentary. Tilak has written a commentary on Gita, right? So all politicians were informed about scriptures also. Nowadays, we are slowly going out of this culture, and today it is becoming difficult to say in public that you are aware of scriptures. It has come to that stage. Especially politicians find it difficult to even say they are going to a temple, they are, you know, worship, they know the scriptures or they are knowledgeable, etc. Right? So all politicians were informed people scripturally also, right? Very, very important. Today it has come to a stage where we read literature from other countries, but we don't know our own literature to teach our children, right? So that is a problem. Now, those days, all rulers were enlightened ones. So Ishvaku learned from his father and Vaivaswata Manu, right? Very, very important. Then, when I recite the Sankalpa on any day, right, I am reminded, that is why, whenever I am talking about the Sankalpa, when I am doing puja, etc., we say Adhya Brahmana, Dvitiya Parabde, Shveta Varaha Kalpe, Vaivaspata Manvantre, Ashta Vimshati Tame, Kali Yuge, then Jambudvipe, Bharata Varshe. So, time-wise, where am I located? Space-wise, where am I located? I am that small, insignificant person, but please take note of me. I am the person who is now doing this puja, right? So rich our culture is. If every time you do puja, you give your introduction, your position basically. You're fixing, like the pin in the Google map, right? The pin is fixing yourself time-wise and spatially before you start the puja, right? So, I am in the fifth kalpa of a segment of six called Shweta Varaha. In this kalpa consisting of 14 manus and six mahayugas, I am in the one called Vaivaswata Manu, which contains 71 Chaturyugas, and I am in the 28th Chaturyuga, comprising of Krita, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yuga, which is the last one. And I am in the 5100 odd year of the Kali Yuga. Right? That is the position time-wise. So, when you do this every day, you will realize that you are one insignificant speck somewhere. And no wonder, I think in Viveka Chudamani or something, Shankaracharya says the entire galaxy is like, the galaxies form and go like Budbuda, like bubbles in the water, right? That is the kind of speck, the galaxies. So what are we then, right? You can imagine, right? I just thought I should show you this. And the meaning of this verse, the first verse is, the Lord said, I imparted this eternal yoga to Lord Sun, and Lord Sun taught the same to Manu, and Manu taught it to Ikshvaku. Right? So this is a Kshatriya Parampara, and see, all of them are Grihastas, Krishna, Ikshvaku, Arjuna, etc. Right? So, continuing. Evam Parampara Praptam, Evam Parampara Praptam, Imam Rajarshayo Viduho,
इमं राजर्षयो विदुः सकालेनेह महता सकालेनेह महता योगो नष्ट परन्तप योगो नष्ट परन्तप.
सो therefore Arjuna, not only the great sannyasis were jnanis in the Vedic culture, even the rulers were great jnanis. We saw one example of Janaka Maharaja, right? So, and they were incapable of doing adharma. And the jnani kings themselves, they had ministers. The ministers were also well read in the shastras. Not only they knew statecraft, they knew Veda Purva Bhaga and Vedanta Bhaga. So, they were not only rajas, but they were Raja Rishis, Imam, this yoga, Vedic teaching, right, and Gita teaching, right, Imam, this yoga, Vedic teaching and Gita teaching, both referred here, Parampara Praptam is coming down in the form of unbroken lineage of originating from Bhagavan himself, right, Raja Rishyoho Vitu, all these Rajas were called Raja Rishis, right, Rishis means spiritually enlightened. So, Rishi is derived from that word Rish, right? It means Jnani. So, every king was a Jnani also. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we find Janaka Maharaja, whenever he gets an opportunity, right, he will call Yajnavalkya for a dialogue. Why? He can spend his time doing whatever he wants, right, as a Maharaja. He would call Yajnavalkya, and in the fourth chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a dialogue between Janaka and Yajnavalkya, and we find that Janaka, even though he was a ruler, he found so much time for scriptural study. And if a ruler can find time, we can also definitely find time. If only we have some level of interest, right, we can definitely find time. And even in Ashtavakra Gita, right, there is a dialogue between Ashtavakra and Janaka. He says, right, I am in the world with family and responsibility, and I am totally detached like a lotus petal and water, or water and lotus leaf, right? Both are very much in water but not getting wet by the water, right? Similarly, I have so many responsibilities, but I can close my eyes and sit in meditation without any preoccupation about family members or duty. Very significant point here. We need not run to the forest. We can live in the world. We can discharge our responsibility. We can remain untouched by the problem called stress, which all the people are talking about these days, right? So, we can beat stress right here with Gita wisdom. That is the idea. Raja Rishyaha, rulers had this wisdom, right? Unfortunately, Mahata Kalena, Krishna himself is telling this 5000 years back, huh? Mahata Kalena, as the time passed, our culture became more and more materialistic culture. Therefore, among the four Purusharthas, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, the first one and the last one were trimmed off. Krishna is saying, only Kama and Artha have been Pradana. So, it is culture that values only the middle two Purusharthas, and we are only mad after money, right? Materialistic culture. Dharma and moksha must be there. Dharma means sacrificing or giving. See, whenever we invest in land, gold, right, the idea of sharing with the society is not there, right? Dharma means I should share. It is not that you should not invest, right? That's not the advice that Krishna is giving. But he says sharing with the society is very important, because the gap between the rich and the poor should not be very big. When that is big, dharma will start waning, right? Not only that, when I have time only for earning and enjoyment, there is no time for Gita study. Spiritual knowledge also will go away. Krishna says, earn and enjoy, nothing wrong, but add the other two. That is dharma and moksha. Find time for that. This is the message, right? Here, Lord Krishna is very upset, and he is talking about the Vedic culture gradually becoming materialistic culture and Veda being forgotten 5000 years ago, right? So, Krishna says, Mahata Kalena, because of long passage of time, Saha Yogaha Nashtaha, learning of the scriptures was given up, which is considered to be a fundamental duty of Hindu, right? In Panchamaha Yajna, one Yajna is Brahma Yajna. We saw about that. Means scriptural study, which was compulsory scriptural study. People started giving this up after some time, right? So when I don't study the meaning, the problem will be what? I will use the religion for material purposes. I just call somebody, I ask them to chant Sundarakandam because my daughter should get married. And then it's materialistic purpose. I don't understand the meaning. I don't, find out the deeper thing. So I continue with materialistic goals, right? But the same thing we could ask for Jnana Vairagya Siddhyartham, right? So it all depends on how we gradually move out of this. But as Krishna says, you have to start with Sakama Bhakti. Do some prayer, puja, etc. Gradually refine what you ask for, right? So, Mahata Kalena Yogaha. So, the Vedic study has become Nashtaha. That is what he is saying here, right? And there are a few people who still learn, and because of such people only, our culture is being kept up, right? So, Krishna says, it waned gradually, therefore, revival was required. Krishna is saying, revival was required. How the revival is done? Lord Krishna says, that is the job of my avatara. Very important. He is clarifying now. Till now, what was he? He was Arjuna's friend. Even he was further from friend, he became charioteer. Right? So, now he is clarifying. Very, very important point. Right? So, he says, O Arjuna, the royal sages knew this, which was this traditionally handed down, and due to long passage of time, that yoga has been lost in the world, right? So, now he is going to tell him that he is come back to revive this, right? Very important point he is going to mention.
Saevayam maya tedya. Saevayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanaha yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosmi me sakha cheti bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hetaduttamam rahasyam hetaduttamam.
Okay, when such a waning of the scriptural study happened, Bhagavan has to allot some of the avataram for reviving the scriptural study. In most of the other avatarams, Bhagavan takes a brief incarnation and destroys one asura and another asura and disappears. Just recall all the avataras, like in Narasimha avatara, right? There are certain avataras which are not meant for destroying Rakshasa. They are meant only for destroying the Rakshasas, not for scriptural study, right? So, if you see, Narasimha Avatara was like that, right? What else was like this? Narasimha Avatara is a good example for destroying the Rakshasas, right? Then, if you see, Rama Avatara and Krishna Avatara, they are very important avataras and they were there for a long period of time, right? Narasimha Avatara appeared, disappeared, right? So, there is actually a book called Rama Gita, which you may not be aware of, in which Rama teaches hardcore Vedanta to Lakshmana. Okay, we all are generally not aware of Rama Gita. High Vedantic teaching in the form of Rama Gita. Krishna Avatara is great for Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna revived the teaching by himself becoming a guru or teacher. So, Krishna as a guru is a great blessing to humanity. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita, even after 5000 years today, we are learning and benefiting. So, Lord Krishna says, Saha eva yogaha, right? That very same yoga which was given in the form of Veda to Surya Bhagavan, that very same Veda which is Puratana, very ancient, and Anadi, Maya Proktavana. It was taught by me in the name of Bhagavad Gita. It is being taught by me now, the name of Bhagavad Gita. Example often given as a wrong example, old wine in new bottle, right? We don't use it here. But it is like that. It's the same Veda that I am giving it in a new form, right? So, Saiyeva Yoga. It's very important to note because in Gita interpretation, we are finding several problems. Very, very important. Interpretational problems are too many in Bhagavad Gita because one word is being used in several contexts. So, yoga itself, if you take karma yoga, in certain contexts, it will take jnana yoga, sometimes upasana yoga. So, one yoga itself has several meanings. Now, therefore, it is very highly confusing to interpret the Gita. So, you study the commentary of different people, you will get 10 different interpretations. Right? If you read Rajaji's, Tilaka, it will be totally different. Right? And some people also highlight the management aspect. Some will highlight the bhakti aspect and leave the other things, right? Very, very important point to note here is, Shankaracharya writes this in the introduction that Gita is a confusing textbook. How to resolve the confusion? Shankaracharya says, there is only one method. Remembering that Bhagavad Gita is a teaching extracted from the Vedas. So, your original source, your citation has been to Veda, right? So, wherever confusions are there, you go to original Veda, it will solve the problem. So, Shankaracharya says, I am going to write a commentary in his Shankara Bhashyam, he says, based on the Veda, I will give Veda-based interpretation only. And that is the proper interpretation, right? And whatever Swami Paramarthananda has taught and whatever I am now following, is also based on Shankara Bhashyam only, which is based on the Vedas directly, right? So, whatever we interpret is based on Shankaracharya's Bhashyam. Then they say Yoga Proktaha. It is based on Veda. Why am I teaching you if Veda already has? This is another question that, you know, you can ask. So, why did Lord Krishna teach Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? First of all, why not to Drona, to Bhima? Different people can give extraordinary reasons. The reason is very simple. Okay, this has been debated quite a bit. Why Lord Krishna taught to Arjuna? Lord Krishna taught it because Arjuna asked for it. Right? You remember, Arjuna alone in the battlefield clearly said, Karpanya dosho pahataswa bhavaha prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha yachreyasyan nikshitam bruhitanne shishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. So, I am your disciple in 2-7. If you remember the 7th stanza in the 2nd chapter, as your disciple, you teach, right, me, right? So, therefore, he says, Arjuna, right, you are my devotee. Tvam bhaktaha asi, you are my devotee, come disciple. You are my devoted disciple, right? Me sakha api, right? So, you happen to be my friend also. Arjuna and Krishna are very thick friends and Arjuna is in need now. So, Lord Krishna is a good friend and he is teaching this Uttama Rahasyam, right? Uttamam Rahasyam, and which is the topmost secret in the world, right? So, it's being very, very rarely revealed and here it is being revealed to Arjuna, right? Why is this teaching kept a secret in our tradition? Right? One important point. The reason is the teaching will work only if you have the qualification. You remember the 4 preparatory qualifications and then we also saw Shamadhi, Shatka, Sampatti, etc. Right? Vivekaha, Vairagya, Viragaha, then Mumukshutvam, etc. Now, if these qualifications are not there and somebody is taught Gita, it will not work. The teaching will not work. So, therefore, in the olden days, in the Gurukulam, first the teacher will test, right? And then he will watch the student. Only after testing all the other qualifications, this knowledge used to be given. So, in fact, we should be thankful to Swami Chinmayananda for having started this tradition. Apparently, many people used to ask Chinmayananda, the traditional teachers, right? Saying that what you are doing is blasphemous, it is not correct, you are teaching Gita in public discourses and you are teaching everybody, you are not bothered about whether they have anushtanam, all of that. So, and it is supposed to be a secret teaching. So, he used to laugh and tell, I believe, no problem. I will teach them and in spite of that, it will remain a secret. Because if they do not have the qualification, anyway, they will not understand. Right? So, bhaktaha iti
etat uttamam rahasyam. So I am giving this topmost secret to you, right? Because you are my friend and you also asked for it, right? So this very ancient yoga, that very ancient yoga is this which has been taught by me to you now. Basically he is teaching, right? Because you are my friend and devotee, this is indeed the highest secret. Continuing, Arjuna uvacha, Arjuna uvacha, aparam bhavato janma, aparam bhavato janma, param janma vivasvatah, param janma vivasvatah, katametadvijaniyam, Tvamadau proktavaniti, Tvamadau proktavaniti. So, now Arjuna gets really confused. Okay? So Arjuna says, what you are saying is highly confusing to me. You say that you taught this wisdom to Surya Bhagavan. He taught Manu. This happened when? It must have happened in the beginning of Vaivasvata Manvantara, right? Now we are going through 28th Chaturyuga. That means before 28th Chaturyuga, this Manvantara started. So roughly about 4.32 lakh years multiplied by 28. Some so many lakhs, crores years ago, right? So you say you taught this to Vivaswan and then you are declaring, right, that you are teaching the same wisdom to me also. How can I accept this? I know your date of birth. Both of us are of the same age, right? So obviously, I know that you are of my, you are my contemporary. So now you can be my teacher, right? I know you did not exist at the time of Vaivasvata Manvantara beginning. When you never existed, how can you say that you taught Surya Bhagavan? This is Arjuna's question. There is a chronological discrepancy. No doubt I am confused. That does not mean, you know, like, I agree that you can tell something, but you cannot get away by saying anything. I also, very, very humbly, but at the same time, he is disagreeing with Krishna, right? So, in the first chapter, he said, Dharma Sammuda Chetaha. I said, I am confused, correct. But you can tell, don't assume that you can tell something like this and get away. How do you explain? You are the teacher of Surya Bhagavan, right? Aparo bhavato janma, and your birth is very, very recent. In fact, in the current Chatur Yuga itself, in Treta Yuga, you were not born. You came in Dwapara Yuga, right? And how can you teach someone who has been there 27 Chatur Yugas earlier, right? Aparam bhavato janma, right? So, I just have a slide on the time scale for you to take a look at it. You can look at this slide afterwards in detail, right? So, this is what he is referring to, saying so many years back, how you would have been there and how you would have taught Surya Bhagavan, right? So, Arjuna is trying to say that, right? So, here the word aparam means recent, right? And Vaivasvata Janmam Param, time of Surya Bhagavan is very, very remote, 27 Chatur Yugas before, when you did not exist. That being so, katamet vijaniyam, right? How can I reconcile your statement? What type? Tvam adav proktamaniti. You gave the same wisdom to Surya Bhagavan at that time, right? At the time of the Manvantara creation. How can I understand? You have to explain, right? Lord Krishna is going to answer this question in the following verses, right? Which is going to come. All the verses that follow this detailed explanation is going to come. Now, Arjuna has not got the message very clearly. Instead of taking Lord Krishna's message, he started thinking in some other manner. And what was his doubt? He expressed saying that, you know, you taught Surya Bhagavan and the same, he assumed that the same Krishna who is standing in front of him taught Surya Bhagavan. That is the biggest mistake that he has assumed, right? So, and he, because
Arjuna asked a similar kind of question in the third chapter also, you remember, right? He said that, you know, you asked me a question on students of our scriptures, right? Whether they should follow karma yoga or jnana yoga, because somewhere he misses the listening. And then he asked this question in the third chapter beginning also. Now he is confused about Krishna talking to Krishna, the same Krishna having taught Surya Bhagavan and now Arjuna, right? Now, very important is, if you see the way he asked the question, right? Our Shastras never say, don't ask questions, right? But with Shraddha and Bhakti, you can ask. You can say, my intellect is not convinced. Therefore, hey Guru, I don't blame you for your teaching. I have some difficulty in my intellect, right? And I will raise a question not by criticizing you, but because I have a problem and I need that clarity, right? So that is what he is going to, ask here. And Arjuna there asked, Vyamishrena Iva Vakyena, if you remember in third chapter also. It appears to contradict, he said, right? There also, right? So always when the doubts are asked, they ask these doubts in a very, very humble way, right? Very important point, right? So the mode of asking is not arrogant, but intellectual, with humility, right? Same humility Arjuna shows in the fourth shloka also. Arjuna does not say, Krishna is bluffing. You are my sarathi. How can you teach Surya Bhagavan? Arjuna does not say. He says, you would have said correctly. My intellect is not able to accept. Therefore, he asks, Katam etat vijaniya? How should I understand? In such a way that I will not feel contradiction. My intellect is, relaxed now, and now I can ask you, right? The questions are not against bhakti and shraddha, right? But you please answer me the question because I need to understand this. So Lord Krishna is going to answer this question, Arjuna's question, from the fifth verse, right? So let us see that. Before that, the meaning of this fourth verse is, Arjuna says, your birth is later, the birth of Lord Son is much earlier. How am I to understand this statement of yours that you have taught Lord Sun in the beginning of the creation? How should I interpret? How should I understand? Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bahuni Mevyatitani, Bahuni Mevyatitani, Janmani Tavacharjuna, Janmani Tavacharjuna, Tanyaham Veda Sarvani, Nanyaham Veda Sarvani, Natvam Veta Parantapa, Natvam Veta Parantapa. So Bhagavan Vacha, Bhagavan clarifies, right? Up to ninth verse is the resolution of Arjuna's confusion, right? I will introduce this today and we will take it up in the next class in detail, right? Because I also have a little bit of a throat problem. So I will introduce this, very important. See, Krishna's teaching is a very, very important part of Hinduism. Now what he is going to teach? What is that? Bhagavan's avatara or incarnation, right? Ishwarasya avatara is the topic he wants to give. And he has to contrast Bhagavan's incarnation with the lot of human beings who are non-Bhagavan, right? Therefore, Ishwara avatara and Jiva Janma. You should note the difference. Ishwara avatara and Jiva Janma contrast he is going to do. The birth of an ordinary living being is called Janma. The birth of a Bhagavan is called avatara. With regard to Bhagavan, we use the word avatara. With regard to Jiva, we use the word Janma. Now, very, very important is, both Ishwara and Jiva are beginningless. Okay? Both are anadi. Right? A very difficult principle to swallow. If you had attended introduction to Vedanta, you will remember why this is important. Right? So the first fundamental lesson is both Ishvara and Jiva are beginningless, and very important that both the difference between Ishvara and here the Jiva is Ishvara Sharira is Mayika Sharira, whereas Jiva Sharira is made out of our normal Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, etc. Right? So we are going to see in great detail about how an avatara is different from that of the Jiva Janma. We'll take it up in the next class because it is a completely new topic. And an avatara is actually very interesting. In brief, an avatara can appear from nowhere in the fully formed form and can go away. Possible. Like Narasimha avatara, etc. Or can be born as a baby and then grow up, childhood, etc. Then it can. So an avatara can always take the form of his or her choice, and basically Bhagavan can take avatara as Devi or as any other god, male form, and can complete the task and immediately disappear. One. Second is, the avatara is a jnani. He is aware from the beginning that he is an avatara. So he does not have any punyam or papam. That is the biggest difference, right? So it's a very, very important topic and a very interesting topic also. So we will start this in detail in the next class, right? So let us say Purnamada. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Okay, any questions? And anybody has any questions to ask? Let me see the hands up here. Yeah, I think nobody has a question. Okay, anybody has a question here? Ah, there is somebody here. Okay. Utra, yourself muted. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Namaskaram. Actually, my question is, so since there were so many Chaturyugas and we are already in the 28th Chaturyuga now, so how do we know that the Krishna avatara was in this Dwapara Yuga only and not in the in any of the previous 27 Dwapara Yugas?
Oh, okay. There are enough records to indicate in Mahabharata itself that it is around 5,000 odd years. So you can sort of place it based on that. So that is how they have calculated that it is this Dwapara Yuga. So that's how it worked out. Lot of itihasas point to that.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I think there are no other, there are no other questions. So we'll meet next week on Sunday, same time. Thank you. Dhanyavada.